Hello, Heinu. Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiye B'Tomo.
Amen.
Okay, welcome back after that lengthy Yomim Tovim hiatus we're holding in Shlomo Melech's Mishle. Perek Yud Ches, just reviewing Pasuk Vav because it's going to lead right into Pasuk Zion. As we mentioned in the past, the Medrash in the beginning of Shir Hashim Rabba points out that Shlomo Melech wrote three primary Sforim. He wrote Sefer Koheles, Sefer Mishle, Sefer Shir Hashirim. He writes the Medrash in the beginning of Shir Hashim Rabba that Shlomo and his younger years, after all, he lived to the age of 52 in his younger years, as a young child does, constantly engaged in song. That's when he penned the classic Shir Hashirim. As he aged somewhat, and he got even wiser, then he gave us the book of Proverbs, that's Sefer Mishle, and Masof Yomav at the very end of his life, that's when he authored the work of Koheles, declaring as he approached his demise that Hakol Hevel, Hevel Havolim, recognizing what really matters in this world is not the Gashmias, but it's the Ruchnias. So here we are, midlife, Shalom Melech, here we are, just past midway, Sefer Mishle, let's take a look at Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Vav. Sisek Sio Yavo Bariv, Upiv Lemahalumos Yikra, writes the Chacham Mikolodov, discussing the lips and the speech of the fool. The lips of the fool Yavo Bariv always come forth in Machlokes, always bring about the Riv in Machlokes, always instigating arguments and causing fights between allies, between friends. He doesn't know how to control his lips, which means what? You have some people, they can't control their thoughts, they can't control the words that are about to go ahead and be spoken, but sometimes the last measure is to do what? The last gate is to close your lips, to purse the lips. You can want to say something, and the tongue is already moving, and the teeth are ready to go in the mouth, and what do? You close the lips. But the ksil, he cannot close his lips, he can't keep his lips pursed, he can't keep them closed. And what happens? They instigate and they trigger so many machlokism, so many fights and conflicts between people. And what ultimately then transpires, upiv, by opening up his mouth, which is not controlled by the closure of his lips, the ma'alumos yikra is basically calling out, is basically inviting a ma'alumos, which are blows. He's inviting blows upon himself. People are what? Going to get tired of him. And they're going to strike him, or all the mafarshim say, not that people will strike him, but that his words are causing others to strike their allies, to strike, to hit their friends. Rachmana litzlan, they're bringing mahalumos, our blows and hits and strikes, and that's what his mouth is doing. His mouth ultimately is calling out bad things, meaning what? To watch your words. And that's what we find several times in Shkas, Kishkoga Yosef Piyasholet. Sometimes words are uttered, and they bring about drastic consequences, because people weren't careful enough to watch their words. We also find a concept in Maseches Brachos and Daf Tes and Yutes, Ayivtach Adam Piv L'Sata. Never go ahead and say things, and never go ahead and utter things that could possibly then come true. In Chazal cite a whole slew of examples. Haman says that Hashem has destroyed these people because they have all these crazy holidays and all these crazy festivals, and not like the Jews. And what happens? We destroy Haman, and through his downfall, we make yet another holiday. At the end of the day, you gotta be careful how you speak. You're complaining about the holidays, someone through you, and we're gonna make yet an additional holiday. In fact, one point that I mentioned over Yontif, not a drasha, but I mentioned it in a separate shiur that I gave, a fascinating insight. Especially since in Yoni Dioma, I know the Goyim now is celebrating Halloween. So if there's a festival, and that seems to steal from our Purim dressing up in costumes, of course, we have a festive geshmak, a joyous yontif called Purim, which is a yom mishtav simcha. And what do? We celebrate happy, great things. Their copy of that Halloween is what? Is skulls and crossbones and death and bats and vampires. It's all dark and gloomy. They take the great stuff that we have and they destroy it. We have a Harabayas, which had the base of Mikdash, the most beautiful edifice, and they destroy it to what is it now? It's a place of ruins. They play soccer on the Temple Mount. The buildings, everything, it's all filthy, it's disgusting, it's not clean. They take our beautiful concepts and they distort it and they abuse it. So Rishol Bloch writes in the Sefer Shol Bechir Hashem, a very fascinating insight. If you think about it, the nations of the world have more or less copied all of our Yom Tovim. We have a Pesach, so they make an Easter around Pesach time. We have a Purim, and they copy it and have a Halloween. And we have a Shavuos, a time of learning, so they'll have an all-night Mass. We have a Chanukah, around the same time they'll have an Exodus. Very often they coincide. They even think about it at the same time. I remember a few years ago, I was on a plane with my wife, and Chanukah had ended over a full week before Exodus. I know what happened. We were flying around Exodus time, and we were coming off the plane, and the steward was trained. Merry Xmas, Merry Xmas, Merry Xmas. But naturally, they'd be trained that if you see someone with a skull cap, someone with a yarmulke, don't wish him a Merry Xmas, right? Instead, say Happy Chanukah. So that's how they were trained. Chanukah had ended already a week previous. But again, it was Merry Xmas, Merry Xmas. And then when he got to me, he said, Merry Chanukah. So at the end of the day, right, that's how they're training the mindset. That's people know. It's at the same time, we have a Chanukah, they have an Exodus. But right, Yeshua Bloch, isn't it fascinating? What a phenomenon that the Goyim basically have duplicated all of our Yom Tovim, except for one. They might have a Palm Sunday, because we take a Lulav and Esra. But notice, they've never copied Sukkot. Why? You would think it's amazing hashkocha. They see it. If there's any Yom Tov that's more bolate, after all, yes, they don't eat matzahs on Pesach. And you go into any supermarket, you see the matzahs. But we're not going into the streets at, yes, I know what a Yankees Chol Hamoed game, and people are munching on matzah and everything. But at the end of the day, nothing is as bolate as out in the open as a sukkah. And you cannot notice it. They're all over the place. And they see the hut, and they see the sukkah, and they're going, we're copying everything. And they'll have an Exodus when we have a Chanukah, and they'll copy a Purim with a Halloween, and they'll have an Easter when we have a Pesach. Why didn't they copy sukkahs? It's a pella. I remember even when I got married, I was living in Fountain View Complex, and you would see this apartment complex filled with people learning in Kollel and young couples, and you had the entire inner lawn surrounded by sukkah after sukkah. And you could not notice, you know, the head of the complex, she was so fascinated by it, and she asked all about it, and is it going to ruin the grass? How long do you sit on it? And all the regular questions. That's a pella though. So why, after all these thousands of years, didn't the Goyim just copy Sukkot? Why didn't they make a hut? Why didn't they do it? You know why? Because Sukkot belongs to Klal Yisrael. Because Dafka in the Yom Tov of Sukkot, we bring the Shivim Pari Achag, Kenegad, corresponding to the 70 nations of the world, and it culminates in Shmini Atzeres. So it's this, Kosher Life, Pradaska, Manivat, Hashem says, it's just me and you. Everybody else is out of the picture. That's why the Mefarshim all refer to Sukkot. We sit under the Chuppah. Our mamash and a chuppah shmini atzeres is the yichurum. Then we go out to dancing Simchas Torah. All I need is the goyim out of the picture. So which mitzvah specifically is God going to use Lasa Lavo in the future? Bedavka specifically to differentiate between the Jews and the non-Jews comes along the Gemara and quite appropriately placed in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. You goyim, you nations of the world, you idol worshippers, you want a mitzvah, they come to Hashem, they say, had you given us mitzvahs, we also would do the mitzvahs. God says, you know, I have a mitzvah kala, shein bo chisaron kiss, it doesn't cost much money, you could build it from twigs and from branches, really isn't going to be so difficult. I'll give you a mitzvah called sukkah. What does Hashem do? Makdol Lavchama sends out a piercing rays of the sun, extreme heat, and they can't go ahead and tolerate sukkah. Why would God pick sukkah? Why not pick anything else in the world? Pick any other mitzvah. But according to this, it makes so much sense. It's v'davka, the sukkah, the chuppah, when we get married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the sukkah has to be tachas kippas harakia. It's we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with Klal Yisrael, and we're getting married at sukkah's time. It's under the chuppah. Shmini Atzeres is ani v'ata. We get rid of all the other nations of the world. God had it built into Hashkocha. It's fascinating that no goyim ever copied the concept of sitting in a sukkah, because that belongs exclusively to Klal Yisrael. Hence, the one mitzvah that Hashem selects, Lasa Lavo, in the future, to differentiate between the nations of the world and between Klal Yisrael, is Dafka Yidei, the mitzvah sukkah. How Gishmak? One could also add, the Gemara says that how does Hashem get them out of the sukkah? He's Makdalem Chama. He sends out the piercing, strong, mighty rays of the sun. Why the sun? Why not send rain? We know what gets us out of the sukkah quicker than anything else, the rain. We can tolerate the heat, a little bit of shade. In the end of the day, the rains, the winds. So not only that, the maskirin geburus geshamim, etchias amesim. God always highlights his might with the rains, right? The Maral, chapter 18 of Geburah Hashem. Hashem always punishes with water. This week's parasha, Noach, the great deluge, the flood, punishes with water. Wants to get the mitzvah. How do you get them? Get the mitzvah with the Amsuf. Drown them in the sea. Hurricanes, tsunamis. The greatest tragedy we've had in the last decade was what? The tsunami? Japan, over 220,000 people lose their lives in a span of a short. And the end of the day, hurricanes, tsunamis, water, flooding, that's when Hashem typically uses. Why is he sending out the sun? So I saw Rav David Tevel Miminsk writes in his Sefer, as Droshes Nachlas David and Durash Aleph, he says, you know why when you sit in a sukkah we have halacha that says, Tzolosim Rubu Chamasa? Why do we need more shade than sun? Why is that so integral to the validity of a sukkah? It's part of the tzur, the form of a sukkah is, it's got to be more shade than sun. Why? My nafkamina. The whole idea is a chuppah. So you're sitting tachas kippah sarkiya. It's you and a kodesh roch in shemayim. What do you need? Tzalos v'rucham also. The Nachlas David explains, because we came out of Mitzrayim, we know that Egypt and so many nations of the world, all the idol worshippers throughout the world, they worship the sun. The tzvos ha-shamayim, the legions in the sky. God gave more power to the sun than anything else in the world. And Egypt, they were the first ones to give us a solar calendar, the ones to worship the sun in their polytheistic system of belief. It was all about the Ra, the sun god. Sun was their number one primal god, and that's why they gave us a solar calendar. They were the first ones to give us a sundial. They were the ones who worshiped the sun. Leaving Mitzrayim, God says, don't worship the sun. You're going to go after the moon. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim is the first mitzvah. And you're going to sit now in a sukkah and do what? Tzalos V'Rucham Asa, block out the sun. And if you don't block out the sun, then it's not a kosher sukkah. Integral to making a kosher sukkah is Tzalos V'Rucham Asa, block out the sun. You have to have more shade. You're not under the sun. The sun doesn't control the world. Hashem controls the world. Block out the sun and you'll still be in the mitzvah sukkah together with a kosher sukkah, because you don't need the same power of the sun the way the nations of the world venerate and revere the power of the sun. Therefore you need Tzalos V'Rucham Asa. So now it's very good. In the future, what does Hashem do? Hashem says, Goyim, you think you have a shaychus to sukkah? I'm going to have you go out to make a sukkah, sit in the sukkah. And what does Hashem do? He takes out the sun. He says, you want to go ahead and see how long you can last in the sukkah? I'm going to give you the sun. And dafka, they're going to be kicked out through their own god, through their own system of beliefs, giving all that power to the sun. It's the sun itself which comes and gives them a patch and kicks them out of the sukkah. Sukkah belongs to Klal Yisrael and nations in the world. Have no shaychus. That's on the heels of the Yontov of Sukkos, and that's unique to Klal Yisrael. So once again, Sivsei Ksil Yavo Briva Pivlam Alumos Yikra, the mouth of a fool, he doesn't know how to close his mouth. And the end of the day, he either causes people to fight one against the other, or he actually causes blows to come upon himself. He's calling out for people to go in and hit him. He doesn't know how to control his mouth. He doesn't know how to control the speech. That's the idea of, as we mentioned, Haman, and that's what got us into Purim, that he could talk about complaining against the Jews. He doesn't guard his mouth. It's going to come back to hit you. It's going to come back. Your own words will come back and strike you. The Vilna Gaon says, Maluma's blows is not only taken literally, that you're going to cause other people to go in and beat you up, but writes the Vilna Gaon, not only that people are going to reach a breaking point that they can't tolerate, and the fact that you're constantly expressing negative comments towards them, you're constantly instigating machlokes, not only will they come to hit you, but Va'od writes the grosh of Avol Lashon Hara to Gombom. We know from the Gemara, Erechen Tezayin Amin Aleph, by speaking Lashon Hara, that's what brings Tzara. So those blows are going to come onto your body, just like when somebody hits somebody else, there are black and blue marks, there's a remnant. We know that there's a disease called leprosy, which always is going to highlight Ke'ilu, like you're getting hit by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't watch your mouth and you're going to speak Lashon Hara, and Rachila Samotze Shemra, how what's going to happen? It's going to bring Tzaras onto oneself. And continuing Pasuk Vav, we go right into Pasuk Zayin. And not only does the mouth or lips of the fool bring about machlokes between people, but it also brings destruction upon himself. So the Hemshech of the Mikra, Shlomo Melech is telling us, and you might think that his negative aspects are just vis-a-vis others, no? He's destroying himself in the process. Peak seal machitalo. The mouth of the fool is machitalo, not only to other people. Not only is it going to cause him a chlekes, and it's going to cause other people to beat him up, but spiritually it's destroying him, and it will destroy his very olam hazeh, usfasiv, and his lips, which he can't control. Mokei shenamsho, will be a mokish is an obstacle, is a stumbling block. I will be a stumbling block to his neshama. Writes the Rabag, because what's going to happen? Writes the Rabag, one of the Gedolei Yerushonim Divrei Aksil, Hey Mevim, Chitas Veshever, they bring about destruction and ruin. And the Mela, they are a stumbling block to his neshama. Why? Ki Gorim Rala Atzmo, we stole them Rabin, from various angles. He is causing bad and evil to come upon himself. And because not only will he instigate fights between other people, and that's going to cause other people to physically bring him harm, but what's going to happen through his foolishness? He will go ahead and destroy friendships, he'll destroy people who in the past were coming to assist him. He will go ahead and interpret their actions in a negative light. He will not download the kavschus, and he will be magala dover she'iroi she'yastir. He'll be magala sod, he'll reveal secrets. And he has a sibol of bilbo ribin yonov, ubumbukashim in the end of the day. Not only will it be a cause of causing, of stirring fights and machlokas between other people, but they will hate him in the process, they'll detest him, and nobody will go in and fulfill his requests going forward. Meaning what? He is going to destroy, he thinks, oh, I'm just out to make fights between other people to say lashon hara. In the end of the day, no one's going to do business with him, no one's going to listen to him, no one's going to want to hang around his dal namos. He's going to be destroying himself in the process. Adds the Vilna Gaon. And we know from David HaMelech's Tehillim, who really treasures, who desires, who longs for life? And it's Sor Lashon Chameira, guard your tongue inside your mouth from speaking evil. Usfasecha Medabir Mirma, and your lips from speaking a deceit. And writes the Gra, Kirao Hipach Metov, and Ra comes from the Lashon, and Mirma comes from the society. And when you want to speak evil, what's that? That's the mouth and the tongue speaking evil. Mirma's deceit. I'm not actively doing it. Oh, I'm going to be quiet about it. I'm just going to have my lips move ever so slightly in a sly, clever fashion. So mirma's associated with trickery, with deceit. And the tongue is associated with when you actively want to speak evil. And so what happens? If you want a life, you have to guard your mouth, your tongue from evil. And you have to guard your lips from speaking deceit. That means the opposite then would be that if you don't do that, you're boli de mavis, which is the opposite of chayim, and that's the idea of the peak seal. It's mechita lo, writes the Gro. It brings bad to him in this world. People might strike him, might hit him, might want to kill him. They'll want to do bad things. Perhaps they don't want to do business with him. It's going to cause him bad things practically, physically. And svasav mokesh l'chol nafsho, it's going to bring his soul to ruin as well. He's going to destroy himself in the process. It's not just the physical concern, especially highlighted by the preceding verse, that people might strike him and they might hit him with blows, or he might even get the physical ailment called the leprosy, which, based on the Gemara, of course, is a metaphysical ailment. It's not something like the regular leprosy of today. But more than that, continues Shalom HaMelech, what's it going to do? It's going to destroy him. And the same Ruach Chaim Shalovit says, the reason why we constantly have to be Makir Tov, and why do we always have to express gratitude? Because you need to do it for yourself. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't perform the first three plagues, and because the sand concealed the Egyptian that he had struck, that he had killed, and the water had saved his life. See, he's not allowed to go ahead and hit them. As a Chaim Shalom, it's to inanimate objects. You have to be makir tov. You have to express gratitude. The answer is what? It's not about the recipient. It's about you. You're the person who has to be a makir tov. You have to go ahead and be a grateful person. It's the same way Rechiel Machas Stern says, notice the lush in the terminology. Why is it called hakara satov? Why not hashlama satov? When you're makir tov, what are you doing? In essence, you're paying up the tov. Somebody did a favor, a boon, a chesed for you. You now want to pay them up. It should be hashlamat hatov. Why is it a curse? You know why? Because you have to owe a person for the rest of your life. Because you have no idea how great that one single act of chesed was. So for the rest of your life, you have to be makir tov. And at the end of the day, knowing you can never fully pay up a debt. You can never fully pay up a chesed. All you could do in their choice terminology, Chazal are revealing to us, all you could do is be makir it. All you could do is recognize it. And the other day, someone, even a little thing, somebody gets you a cup of coffee in the morning. So say, what's the big deal? So next morning, I'll be makir tov and get that person a cup of coffee. But that cup of coffee that they got for you might have changed the entire day. You might have stayed more awake in the shiur in the class. You might have learned better, talked better to your husband, to your spouse, to your kids, to your relatives. I might have changed your entire olamah one day, and it got off to the right start because of that one cup of coffee. But you don't know that you're paying up the toll the next day. Maybe your friend already had a cup of coffee. Maybe they can have one 10 minutes later. Maybe she doesn't need a cup of coffee. coffee to speak nicely to her husband, to pay attention to Chiyur Bechulei. So maybe your cup of coffee is never doing and having the same impact as the cup of coffee that she bought to you. As of the rest of your life, you just don't know. So you always have to be Makir Tov. I always have to, there are stories about Gedolim who 30, 40 years later, this is Al Meltzer, when he was well into his 80s, he told his Gamai, I have to go out to a bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, and it was freezing, it was actually snowing outside, and he walked a great distance. He said, so 30 years ago, and they did a chesed for him, and now he has to be Makir Tov to go to this family's bar mitzvah. Rabbi says, I said, so what do you mean by that? That was 30 years ago. He says, yeah, and the rest of your life, you have to be thinking. It's got to be in your mind. You can never be mashlim the Tov. You can't be mashaling for it. All you can ever do is be makarin. You can only recognize it. But recognize it means it's got to be in the forefront of your mind. Because if you don't recognize it, that means there's something lacking in your midos. You need to be makar Tov for the person that Hashem wants you to be. So many mitzvahs HaTorah, writes the Ramban, are given kedei letzarif ben hasabrias, to purify oneself, to make you a bigger and better person. Same idea, the Chacham Tzvi, or Tzvi Ashkenazi, the Posek Gadol in the 1600s, he writes in a tshuva in Simen Chavav, and there's a locha based in the Gemara in Chulin, you're not allowed to steal from a guy. You're not allowed to ever steal from a guy. Now if you go to a store that's owned by a guy, and they make a mistake, they give you $20 back change instead of $5, Halacha lemaisa tos akim, if they make a mistake, you're allowed to keep it. But even then, there's an idea of kiddush Hashem, to go make a kiddush Shemayim. A woman called me up not too long ago. She says she went to a store. The clerk accidentally put in two pairs of boys' pants instead of one. She says, Rabbi Fana, can I keep the second pair of pants? I said, tos akim, they made a mistake. You don't have to assume when you go after Rove that they're not Jewish, unless you know the store is Jewishly owned. So my guy, may Ikra didn't know a lot of keep it. I said, imagine you're going to call up the store. I said, for what? For one extra pair of pants? What is it, 56? You know what? Call up the store and say, you know, I'm an Orthodox Jew, and we're very honest people, and you accidentally gave yourself, I'm making a Kiddush Hashem, and that's what she did. And I go, I can't believe it's the first time you're calling me up, and you want to bring back the pair of pants. Make a Kiddush Hashem, for what? As I guess, even Tos Akka, may Ikra had didn't know a lot of keep it. There's still an idea of being a Kiddush Shemayim. But everybody agrees. Not allowed to steal from a guy. People think, oh, it's a guy. You're not allowed to steal. Ask the Chachmat Tzvi. We'll get to that question right after this point. Why can't you steal from a guy? Is it because Hashem cares so much about the money of a guy? No. It's because Hashem says, I care about you. And because if you're a person who steals from anybody, then in essence, you're destroying your core nature, your essence of good midos. Because if you can bring yourself to steal, you know what happens? It has a ripple effect. Here you stole a little bit. And there was an article, more research came out last week. And it was in many different papers about how they have now proven scientifically that somebody who lies, after a while, it doesn't even bother them anymore. Now again, this is against the political backdrop of some people, we won't name them, who seem to have a history of lying. But in the end of the day, now studies came out scientifically proving, and already, our Chazal already told us, someone who doesn't have Aver, Vishonabo, Nasus, Lo, Keheter, anyone who gets into the habit of lying after a while, this, you know, people, all this guilt, it gets to a point that it's so horgal, it's so, you're so accustomed to it that there's no guilt anymore. It becomes part of your psyche. Lying becomes second nature. And that's Misha Nasa, Misha Avar Bo, Vishonabo, Misha Avar Aver, Vishonabo, Nasus, Lo, Keheter becomes second nature. That's why you have to be so careful, Midvash Sheker Tilcha, because these things seep in and they destroy ourselves. You can't steal, because once you steal from one person, you're rationalizing, you'll steal from another person as well. And it's about the people that we need to become, and that's why the Rambam says, let's say you have $1,000. $1,000 of mice and money to give away, is it better to give one ani, one destitute individual, $1,000 check, or is it better to give $1,000 to a dollar bill to 1,000 different ani? Writes the Rambam in Ukhasaka, it's better to give $1 to 1,000 people. Why? Because instead of just one act of writing out a check, you're doing 1,000 separate acts. And that has a major positive impact on your regilus. Because that means over time you just did 1,000 separate acts of giving tzedakah, and that creates a hergel. And that changes the mahos, the essence of a person getting into that habit. And that's the idea it's about for the person. So that's why Shlomo has to add, not only does it destroy allies, does it break up friendships, does it create machlokas, and will it in turn cause the fool physical harm? At the end of the day, that's going to cause him destruction, not only physically, but as the Rabbah told us, no one's going to want to be friends with him or her. No one's going to want to do business. It's going to cause him a financial loss. And the end, Svasav Mokesh Nafshu, his lips will be the stumbling block to his soul. And that's why the lips, the speech, the power of Dibor is so crucial, so pivotal Because, as the Maral explains, that's the definition of man as a medaber. God blows a breath of life. This past week's parsha, parsha's precious, for based on Zayim. And the Targum says, and that man now had a life, had a soul. He now is the Koach Hadib, or Bahavas Adam, the Ruach Mamalada. The first trait defined in the Psukim, in the creation of mankind, is that mankind now is a medaber, is a speaking species. A man can communicate, but that means he or she has to guard his or her tongue more than anything else. That's a defining trait. And you are how you speak, how you communicate. And that's why you can destroy your soul based on not guarding your words and your lips properly. Yes?
Okay. So, the mouth is the gate, but it's inside of you that has, even if your mouth is closed and you have these negative thoughts and you have, you know, inside of you, you want to be destructive, you know, that mouth in your brain to everybody, then what you talk about that?
Excellent. So that is going to negatively affect a person's midos. But a person doesn't get punished based on their machshava. If you have a thought that you want to speak lashon hara about somebody that you know, if you never speak it, if you guard, that's the lips, that's the gate. If you guard it, halacha lamaisa kedushin lamitzasam beis, Hashem is not mitzarif machshava lamaisa. There's only one area that Hashem joins thoughts to action, and that's Avodah Zarah. That means if you want to bow down to an Avodah Zarah, even if you don't actually do it, and then you get punished. But otherwise, Hashem never, if the Machshava doesn't result in myself, Hashem doesn't punish you. Meaning you didn't do an actual Avera, Hashem doesn't punish you. And clearly, if you didn't speak the words, you're not going to cause animosity.
No,
you're not going to break up. But you still cause harm to yourself, 100%. And that's why a person's midos, one always has to be working on himself or herself to perfect and refine and hone one's character traits, because you should be in that position that you shouldn't even be thinking that. And we see such an idea. For example, Ibn Ezra asks us a question in his commentary, Pasha Sisro. The last idea of Sarasa Dibros, of course, is Lo Sachmod. Don't be jealous. How does it mean that we just say you're not even, it's a question in the Rishonim, does that only result in an act? Meaning you want your friend's new handbag and you actually go steal it, or you actually force them to sell it to you. It's a discussion of the Rishonim. But in the terminology of the Ten Commandments, Lo Sachman is don't covet. Don't be envious, don't be jealous. So what does that mean? Ask the Ibn Ezra, how can Hashem now command me on my emotions? If I have the emotion but I control it, that should be enough. He says, no, you have an obligation to develop an attitude that says, I don't care about someone else's property. Meaning, what, I have my own unique relationship with God, and I have to trust wholeheartedly that God's going to give me every single thing that I need to get to my shleimus, to get to my completion. If I don't need that car for my shleimus, and Hashem won't give me that car, you're not supposed to look outside of your dalaramas. People always say the grass is greener. You have to be a semech v'chelko, and that can help you get rid of los achmo.
How about if you are in, let's say that you are in business and you have somebody working for you and you don't say anything, but you do put a stumbling block in their way.
I know so, and that's a separate avera. There are separate averas by putting stumbling blocks. Lefnei ivur lo sitein mechshol, you might be causing, you might be over on a whole slew of different averas depending on what actions you take. Again, the main thing is
that person, you know, inside of themselves, what can be done besides, you know, saying, oh, you have to be control of yourself.
It's not just control, but it's about working and developing one's attitude towards life, about how to recognize when bad things happen, and nothing bad is going to happen unless God allowed it to happen.
There are people who just don't recognize
it. Right. No. There are people who don't recognize that. We have to always be working on that attitude.
If you have a friend or husband to whom you can speak, and you know that you have these feelings, you feel that they're just in terms of speaking badly about somebody, but you know that you have to get it out, and you know that he'll deflect your lashon hara, that he will help you get rid of your bad feelings. Are you allowed then to say to your husband?
So the Chofetz Chaim does discuss, for example, if it would be focused on the recipient, if you know someone comes over to you and they don't mean to ever act on it, and they don't mean to spread it to other people, and they're just venting because they have to get off the chest. If they don't get off the chest, they might go ahead and do other things, and they might actually take action. And by doing this and getting it out, then the Chofetz Chaim says you're allowed to listen, but inside you have to say, I don't believe what they're saying is 100% true. You're not allowed to believe it as true, but you're allowed to listen just to allow them to vent and to get it off their chest. But it's still ideal that a person controls it. And they get it out another way. Get it out in the exercise room. Get it out by screaming against that person, you know, with nobody there, by punching the pillow. It's still best to get it out without telling anyone, because even Lashon Hara between spouses, how halachas of Lashon Hara apply between a parent and child, between two spouses. Even if you and your spouse, you and your child would see the same action, the Chametz Chaim says, you're not allowed to now discuss that action that you both witnessed between the two. Now let us speak the Lashon Hara. Teretz is what? Mitzad, the recipient, the Chametz Chaim addresses, if you know that they just need to get out their anger to vent so that they don't cause another person to do anything else, then you're allowed to go ahead. You don't have to appease them. You don't have to silence them. You're allowed to listen, to be a sounding board, but you're not allowed to believe that it's true. And you have to say, oh, okay, so that's how she perceived it, but it must be. Or Chametz Chaim says you're allowed to listen if you honestly believe that you can explain how the person didn't down the kaf schos, how you can go ahead and change the perspective. Let's hope.
So a minute ago you said that our thoughts, if you don't act on it. Right, but the opposite I thought also when it comes to good deeds.
That's
right.
If
you want to go to the class, but in the room you had a flat fire, and the things happen, and you want to go to the wedding, but there's a...
That's correct. And that's the sugya in the end of the first part of Kedushin on Matzah on base. Hashem is not Mitzarif Machshava Ro Lamaiso, but he is Mitzarif Machshava Tova Lamaiso. And the Gemara explains in Maseches Brachos at the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Aleph for the Choshvei Shmo, Misha Choshev Lasas Maisa Mitzvah Venenas, Nechshev Kilu Asaf. You wanted to do a Maisa Tov
from
the Gemara in Brachos at the bottom of 6a. It's considered as if, but the Maral explains, you have to know, it's not, doesn't just mean, the person says, I want to go this year, oh, flat tire, oh, what can I do? Maral says in his Netzach Yisrael, and the beginning of the Sefer, and also in his Chedusha Godus, in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Beis, Amud Veis, and the Maral explains, and that, what does it mean? He says, a person has a Maisa, let's say you want to go do a Maisa Veiri, he says there are two types of Ritzonos. Person says, I want to go to this show, and they know that the show is not appropriate. So what happens? Hashem gives them a flat tire. So they say, yes, I wanted to go, but Hashem gave me an obstacle. He gave me a flat tire. Oh, the bridge is up. Oh, there's a traffic jam. Oh, thank you, Hashem. I wanted to. You stopped me. So what happened? There was a machshava ro. And Hashem is not matzarif de la maisa. It didn't result in maisa. Hashem came to protect you. But then you have a person who says, I don't care how many times Hashem tries to stop me. You can have a person who misses the plane. They're running on the tarmac, like we had earlier this year, to go out and catch the plane. You get a flat tire, you'll hail a taxi. The bridge is up, you'll jump into the water. Hashem, no matter, and at the end of the day, Hashem will very often let you do it. And at the end of the day, we have a Gemara in Yuma. I'm in Chesem and Beis. And the Gemara says, Avala tahir Messiah, you know so. Habala tame poschano. Hashem always opens up the door. Makis daf yudam and beis. V'derach shor demrotzo leilech malichanoso. Hashem says, I'm going to try and help you and try and stop you. Some people, so too the Maral says when it comes to telling. You have a person who gets on the wall. Oh, I want to go to the shir. Oh, it's a little cold. Hashem, I really wanted to go. You made it too cold for me. 40 degrees is my threshold. That's it. You made it 39 and a half. That's it. I can't go. That's not a rotzen. That's looking for excuses. Our rotzen is, I get it, oh, and then there's a flat tire. Oh, but you know what? I could park the car on the side of the road. I'll call AAA afterwards. I'll call Chaverim and then AAA. And I'll walk to the shir. Oh, the person walks and then, what happens? And then maybe they step into a puddle after, in the end of the day, if you really want to, and then if the end result is that you couldn't make it, that's when it's an onus. And Hashem says, I consider if you really gave it your all, but a person has to give it their all. But 100%, that's another difference between Jews and Goyim. Hashem punishes the Goyim on their machshavas, but we only on our mice and both. That means it could still destroy your personality and your midos tovos, and that's what we have to always be working on, those character traits. Along similar lines, we now spoke about the fool who can't keep his or her mouth closed, can't guard the lips, and the words come out, the ra, the mirma, and in the end it destroys him physically, financially, spiritually. That's the fool who can't control his bad words. Now we have a new type of person. A nirgan. Yes.
I've learned in my lifetime, long lifetime, that people don't realize that somebody talks Lashon Hara and tells you things, that same person will talk about you. So we shouldn't listen to it.
That's right.
Because we should realize, and I'm telling you, it's true. It's
true.
That same person will talk against you, and so just close your ears.
That's very true. Very true. Someone who could be like that, I can turn against a friend of many years. And that happens 100%. Okay, we have a new person now. A nirgan. All right, Shlomo Melech and Posuch has different nirgan. Kemis lahamim. Mislamim, we just had that word in Pasuk Vav, Mahalumos, again blows, Divrei, the words of a complainer are like blows, Vehen Yordu Chodrei Voten, they go down, they descend into the inner chambers, the inner recesses of the, not heart, but of the Voten, of the bowels, of the innards, they go down into the person. Complaints, nobody likes complainers. We read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, Chapter 1. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Nobody likes to hang around complainers. Writes Rabbeinu Yonah in his Shari Tshuva, famous classic Musa work in Shar Shlishi, and Os Reish Lamed Aleph, Hachelek HaShishi is a Nirgan. He's talking about different types of negative personalities. And we have a complainer, Amar Shlomo Melech Alu Shalom Mishlei Yud Ches Ches, and he quotes our Pasuk, Perish. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Hanirgan Hu Ha'ish Asher Darko V'Chukalis Onein, his way of life is always to complain. Ola Yisroim V'Yimtza Tznuos Achor, always finding new complaints on his friend, Amaisav V'Al Devarov, on his actions, on his words. V'Yav B'Yishet Chaveru B'Tzum V'Masalachim V'Lo Azot Allah B'Dover, he's not doing it B'Mezit. His friend is just going innocently. V'Yodim K'Dover L'Chov L'Lo V'Schos. That person never judges the Kavschos, always judges the Kavchov. What's the first lesson on the pages of Pirkei Avos? Before we even get to Shimon HaTzadik, Hayim Mishiori, Knesset HaGedola, and Hu HaYomer, Shosh HaDvarim, Olam HaMid, HaTorah HaGedola, Shosh HaSom, we had already Yamshik HaKnesset HaGedola. What's the first thing they told us?
It's his Yortzeit today.
It's his Yortzeit today. Shimon HaTzadik, fantastic. That's his Yortzeit today. So what was said even before Shimon HaTzadik? Okay. Baruch HaShem. So the first lesson of Pirkei Avos is Have a Mesunim Badin. The first lesson in life is don't rush to judge. Because you don't even need so much of Pirkei Avos if you would just be patient. The same way Hashem is the Kelar HaChapayim. Hashem gives us time. Give people time. Give them space. Be patient. Don't rush to judge. And the complainer is looking to find fault. Is looking to complain. Is looking to judge the Kavchov. The Kol Shkoga Yosim Lezondon. Even when something was done inadvertently, the Nirgan, the complainer, says, no, I see that is done purposely. And he says, oh, everybody hates me. Everybody's bothering me. Hakilu, everyone is doing bad things to me. And he's the one who's causing the trouble. And that's the idea of their Nirgan. That's why he is a person who Shlomo derides, that his words, his complaints are like blows to himself. Lushan Hispael. Hakimislamim, it's bringing blows, it's constantly eating away at himself, and they go to his innards, they're destroying him. Someone who complains, they can't enjoy life, they can't enjoy anything in life. They're always complaining, and they're never looking at the positive in anything. And what happens? And they're destroying their own life in the process. And writes the Vilna Gaon, the same way that we discussed the physical blows before, and he says, worse than physical blows, are diburim of lashon hara. A physical blow is something that only harms the physical body, but this goes into the pnimius. This goes into the inner chambers of the soul, and a bruise, a wound can be healed, but when you go ahead and you can criticize and you complain and you judge a person unfavorably, and the other day that goes into their innards, it destroys people's psyche, and that's why it's even worse than the physical blows. That's the Vilna Gaon. But the main point over here, and I like to bring out, is the Malbim. A very esoteristic Malbim. The Malbim says as follows. The Nirgan, the complainer, as someone gives you his definition, is Mishem Esloni Tamin Al Hashem Shavro the Rasa. Not that he's complaining against other people. The Malbim says, someone who complains against other people, that's already included in the first one. And the first pasuk, we already talked about people who are causing fights and everything. They can't keep their mouth closed. That will include lashon hara, rachilas, insults, you name it, complaints, and that's all in Pesukim Vav and Zayin. Pasuk Ches is saying what? As someone who complains to Hashem, he says everything Hashem does is for his bad. And Hashem rose bolam heim rav natovus, and that person looks around the world and says, and there's more bad than good. V'shetov lo shalom nivra, God, better than you never created me. Obazay yisloni tamar alan hungas Hashem imo ki azul amikra. You see that Hashem left me up to happenstance. Hashem left me up to chance. Hashem doesn't care about me. And the end of the day, Devar of Kemislamim, he makes it. Ki'ilu Hashem makos, atomim vosim aros. He's not getting struck, but he says what? The words of complainers are kimislamim. They aren't mislamim. They're in his mind, his viewpoint. It's as if Hashem is constantly striking him. It's as if Hashem is constantly issuing blows and doing evil to him. And yodu chavrei batim. In the end of the day, haros malumas eila einam chutzlo. They're not outside of him. Rak nimtzom b'chadrei bitno u'b'matzvun machshavosav. Writes the Malbim. And you know where they're found? They're only found in his inner being and in the hidden secret parts of his thought. Shehu b'dimyono, in his imagination, doeg tamid, he's constantly worried. Omeslonim, metzayolo, shekoma sheyish luzoloso chosolo. He looks around and says, everybody has everything else, and I'm the only one who's missing it. V'chol tovos Hashem kilo nos, and all the good that Hashem does in the world, and this person complains and sees it as evil. In the end of the day, writes the Malbim, hakol chesed abrocha v'yismach, and v'chelko v'nafsha taga v'yeshua Hashem, sh'Hashem boras odom yoshar, v'heichen hakol l'to'alto. Person has to change his or her attitude, to know that everything in life is a chesed, is a brocha, to be a samech v'chelko, and to know that Hashem can save you from your troubles at any moment in time, and until He saves you from those troubles, in the end of the day, it's all the tov. Hashem created a person to be yashar, and He prepared everything for that individual's benefit. And that's the idea of why this is a separate pasuk, writes the Malbim. It's one thing to complain about other people, and it's one thing then to destroy the Bein Adam L'Chaveru relationships, but you know what happens to the Nirgam, the one who's a complainer, a Be'etzim, in his or her essence? And at the end of the day, they view everything Hashem does in their entire lifetime. It hits their innards, and they think that Hashem is always attacking them. Hashem gave them a bad life. In the end of the day, and we have to believe that Hashem is a kind, benevolent God who only wants what's best for us, and made a person yosher and puts a person on the path to get the shleimus and to get the ultimate tov. And that's why it's only kim islamim. In the end of the day, the person is complaining against Hashem, and what happens? It sinks into their blood, and they can never be happy. The Malbim says you have to change that attitude, change that perspective in life. And it's all about the attitude. It's all about finding meaning in the suffering. Of course, Viktor Frankl's classic, the third school of psychological thought, logotherapy, finding meaning, man's search for meaning, man's search for ultimate meaning, and knowing how to find meaning in all the suffering. Every single piece of suffering, and it's all to teach us lessons, all to make us bigger, better, and stronger people, and to get us to do the things that we need to do, the things that we need to achieve our respective tafkid in this world. So many organizations, so many gamachim, some Mothers Against Drunk Driving has saved tens of thousands of lives because it was started by one mother who lost a child to a drunk driver. So many organizations, so many gamachim, so many wonderful institutions, and most of Sif Chesed were started because of suffering that people have, because of certain children or certain family issues that people have. How many lives have been saved? How many things in the world have come about, and life has been made greater because of what people have suffered and endured. It's not only great for the tzibur, it's great for the yochad as well. And therefore, a person has to make sure not to complain against the actions of Hashem, to trust, and that it's all about bitachon. And memela, that's the continuation over here. We're going to go very soon right into midas habitachon. But we stop now for a basic hemshich on the continuation of the pasuk test. Gam misrapa b'malato, the complainer. And not only does that complainer live her entire life as if Hashem is striking her in every day, and not only is it going and penetrating deep within her, and that she can't enjoy life because she's constantly complaining that Hashem is doing bad, but what happens? Gam misrapa b'malato. And she then grows lax in the malacha. A person is always complaining. All right, Steve Vanessa, what happens? The Nergan is going to then slack off because it's going, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? And what, oh, well, I don't want to get out of bed in the morning, and then I'm going to show up late to work. I'm going to leave early. In the end, they're going to slack off in their malacha as well. Or Rabbeinu Yonah says, we're not talking about the Nergan himself, the complainer himself, right, Rabbeinu Yonah? We're talking about the employee of the Nergan. And that if you're working for someone who's a complainer, you know what happens? Nobody wants to work for him. So everyone who's working for him, you know what the Nergan causes? It causes Gam, Misrapa Balato, causes all his workers to slack off in their malach. At the end of the day, this person's complaining and they're not happy. People like hanging around happy people. And someone who complains, nobody likes the person who complains. At the end of the day, there was a case of a certain smarty Jew whose father was incredibly successful in business, and he attributed because he got a bracha from a famous mekubal. So he went back to that famous Mekubal after his father died when he was taking over the business, and he wasn't as successful as his father. So he went to the son of the Mekubal, and he said, my father went to your father, and he was very successful in business. So I want a bracha. He says, I'll give you a bracha. He says, I'll put up a mezuzah in your office, and make sure that every time you walk into your office to go ahead and kiss the mezuzah. See, he did it. So he was a little successful. Still wasn't as successful as his father. So he went back to the Mekubal. The Mekubal says, I'll tell you what. I want you every single hour to go out, stand at the entranceway of your office, and I want you to kiss the mezuzah every hour, and you'll be matzliach. And sure enough, he does that, and he gets a little more prosperous in his business, but he's still not matzliach to the extent of his father. He goes back to the Mekubal and he says, every half hour I want you to go stand at the entranceway to your office, and I want you to kiss the mezuzah and ask Hashem for help. And that's what he does every half hour, and the business takes off and it does great. And he's doing amazing. He comes back to the Mekubal and he says, how'd you know to give me that bracha? He says, you know why? Because if the employees see that their boss is checking up on them every half hour by standing at the entranceway to his office, kissing the mezuzah, and they're going to be on their best behavior, they're going to work. In the end of the day, if they see the boss is taking work seriously, they're going to take seriously. But if your boss is always complaining, and it's not good, you don't enjoy working for him, you're not going to go ahead and do the job that you need to do. So Rav Yonah understands you're going to cause your own staff to slack off in their malacha. Ibn Ezra understood it. No, that person himself, if you're always complaining, we know it's people who have positive outlooks in life. Those who are optimistic. They're the ones who accomplish. They're the ones who get out of bed in the morning. Those who are besimcha, right? A person can learn more Torah in 1 hour of being besimcha than in 5 hours of being depressed. Simcha is, and Rav Huna writes this, why is the only mitzvah where we ask Hashem in the brochas on that mitzvah for enjoying it? We know the Gemara Nedarim Mem Chesed Aleph, mitzvahs lav lahanes ninu. In general, mitzvahs are not given for our personal enjoyment. It's to do the tzivoy of Hashem Yisbroch. But yet, when we get up in the morning, what do we say? Lasok v'divrei Torah. And then, immediately thereafter, v'harif na Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, let it be sweet. Why should it be let it be sweet? Explains Rav Huna, because you're only going to learn well and open up your mind. Happiness opens up the heart. Happiness opens up the heart. It opens up the mind. And you're more relaxed. You accomplish so much more when you're happy. Why is it? I speak to people come out from Eretz Yisrael, and they tell me they're able to go. They might need 7-8 hours of sleep every night. They go to Eretz Yisrael, that's it. 10 days, adrenaline, yeah, maybe I slept 3 hours, maybe 4 hours. But how? The same people that need 8 hours of sleep in my mind? Because when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in a constant spiritual high. You don't need to sleep. And you're running, you're rushing, and getting out of the bed. We got an itinerary, we got so much to do, we got to run to the cult. And there's so much on vacation. And notice you don't need as much sleep on vacation. And when you're happy, you're in a geshmak mood, you don't have to answer to a boss. And you're on vacation, you accomplish so much more. Rav Huna says, simcha opens up the heart. That's why the Chiddush Yerim says, hey, you know why we have simcha in the Yom Tovim? Because before, main times for people learning Torah are when you have, look at a yeshiva year. And you go to yeshiva. Hi, people go to yeshiva seminary. They start in Elul, September time, and that's one. And then you go and have Sukkot, and then you go into the long winter. And then you have Pesach. He says, because we want to have times of simcha, the same way the Gemara says in Shabbos 30b, the Rabbah opened up every shir with the milsim lichusa. He opened it up with a joke. Why? Because the joke would relax them, get their attention, with their appetite, and once their mind is open, and then they listen to the rest of the shir. Chiddush Yerim says, Yom Tov is like the joke before the shir. Chiddush Yerim, he says, Yontif, the simcha Yontif is, you had a great sukkah, you're a simcha. Now go ahead and learn the rest of the year. Now that'll carry you through the winter. Pesach, now you had that, that'll carry you through the summer's month. And that's why a thing with Phineas died to you, the longest month is the winter, the most difficult when the nights gets dark very early and it's cold and it's snowy. That's why this month of Chasena, we need the greatest measure of simcha before that long winter's month. And that's the milsa b'dichusa of sukkahs. But right, the Chiddush Yerim, that simcha puts us in a great mood and gets us prepared for the long, bitter winter up ahead. We got to carry that simcha of a sukkah of Shmini Atzeret, and that's kosher like Pedaschim. The famous question the Farshim asked, so we had Tzman Tzav Chaseinu, and then Hashem says Shmini Atzeret, kosher like Pedaschim, it's difficult to leave, so stay one more day. What's going to happen one more day? After one more day, are you still going to, there's going to be another day. And the number seven, the answer is again, Hashem is basically showing, it's as if I never want you to leave. Take me with you. Amaral says, that's why the Rambam, we have a mitzvah called Hachnasas Archim, one of the greatest chasadim in the world. Hachnasas Archim, the Gemara says, and Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amad Beis, Avraham Avinu, we're getting up to it very soon, beginning of Pasuk Vayera. He's in conversation with God. He says, hold on, God, I got to take care of the chesed. From that, Chazal deduce that even greater than speaking with Hashem is doing Hachanos HaSorchem. And Rosh Hashanah Zalman Ormach says it as practical applications. Let's say you're davening Shacharis. And a guest comes, and you were going to daven Shacharis at 9 o'clock in the morning. And a guest comes and they need a bed, they need a hot meal. Shlomo Zalman says, you take care of the guest before you daven. You'll daven later. Halacha l'maisa, take care of your guest. He says, if a person's about to run out to Minyan and an ani comes to your door and says, I need a hot bowl of soup, I'm starving, can I come in and lie down? It's docha tefila b'tzibur. Paskin to Shlomo Zalman. And because Golda Chanos HaSorchem, Yosef Kabbalah's Panei Shino. Chanos HaSorchem is greater. The Rambam says, it's not called Chanos HaSorchem. If you look at the Rama Menuchas Ovel Perk Yedal Alach Aleph, he doesn't call the mitzvah Hachanos Zochem bring an Orech into your house. Now, there's also a diak we should point out many before. The real mitzvah Hachanos Zochem is not having over your best friends for a Shabbos meal. And that's not Hachanos Zochem. They would come into your house anyway. Hachanos Zochem is, as the name indicates, you went out and you brought them into your house. Who do you have to go out? People who are not your best friends. People who are not always on your radar screen. To go out to them and to bring them into the house, and that's the real mitzvah of Hachanos HaSorchem. Not having your best friends over, but going and caring about the unfortunate ones. In fact, yesterday I drove upstate, I had to visit someone in a prison upstate, and waiting with me in the waiting room before we went in to visit the inmates, I asked them, oh, and you know, who are you here to visit? It was a group of four people. They said, actually, we don't know anyone personally. But this group of four Erlecha Jews from Borough Park traveled 2 hours plus every 3 to 4 weeks to visit two or three Baalei Tshuva in this prison who have no other family members and no other visitors. And they go up every 3-4 weeks just to sit with them. And I was sitting right next to them in the prison. And I'm telling them they went out because they have vending machines. And you have to bring in quarters and a Ziploc bag. And it's a whole thing. And of course, unfortunately, because they're Jews, they'll say they have kosher food. And they have a microwave and everything is double wrapped. And these people come up 3-4 weeks and they buy them pizza, they buy them eggplant parmesan and soda, and they sit with them for an hour plus, schmoozing with these people. They're not related to them, they never met them before in their lives. That's the real mitzvah of chesed. And that's caring about people. So those, achnos asorchem is, are not your best friends when you're really doing a chesed for people, and that you might not be so friendly with. That's the real mitzvah. And the Rambam calls it mitzvah levia asorchem. Why? Because the real mitzvah is a levia. Is escorting, and Levaya is thus called, because Levaya is, and when the person dies, we're not going to be malav with them, we're escorting them to their final resting place. Maral says, in Nesimus Olam, the greatest part of the Hachnas HaSorchem is the Leviyah. Why? Because let's face it, the Giloy Milsa, that which says, did we really enjoy having this company or not? You can have company, we always know that company is like fish, right? The first day it's all good, by the second day it starts to get smelly, third day already you kick it out of the house, it's smelling very bad. Levi'ish says that even when you're saying goodbye, right? A person, let's go to Machshav inside. Yes, they're finally leaving. I can't wait. I get them out of the house. The meal went on. So Levi'ish says, Koshalai Predaskim, I'm going to walk you outside. I'm going to walk you down the block. Even when you're leaving, I'm sad to see you go. I can't tear myself away from you. Even when you're leaving, I can't go out and just say goodbye. That's the mitzvah of Levi'ish. That's why. Where do we get the lashon from? Which one of the Shvatim had the same terminology? Levi, why was it called Levi? Apam yelaveni ishi in Parshas Vayetze. And now my husband has to always be connected to me. The Leviya's connection, why? So the Farshim explained, because when she had Reuven and Shimon, so Leah can hold Reuven in her right hand. Then she had Shimon, she can hold Shimon in the left hand. Now comes child number 3, she can only balance 2 kids. Yaakov, my husband, you gotta help me out. So now Yaakov is gonna be connected to Leah. Wherever Leah goes, we need someone to carry Levi. Apam yelaveni ishi, that's Mrs. Leviya. Halavi is, you walk a person out, even when it's time to say goodbye, you can't say goodbye. That's Kashalai Pradaska. And that's why it's called the Sudas Preda. You ever wonder, why is it called the Sudas Preda? Why is it Kashalai Pradaska? We have many terminologies for separating. Why is it Preda? So if you look at the Mishnah, in the Sechah Sukkah 29b, Lulav HaGazel, our Mishnah says, if you have a Lulav, Shenifritz all of its puzzle. And Rashi explains, if you have a lulav where the leaves come fully apart, and you take an external egg and you just tie them and connect them together, that type of lulav is possible. Even though when you look at it, it's tied together, it looks like it's all connected, but you know that the pieces are not connected any longer. Masha Inkein, if you have a lulav shenifrida all of its kosher, a lulav, Rashi says, it's still connected at the base. At the base of the lulav, the leaves are connected, and they just separated on top, you could take an egg and tie them together, and now lulav is kosher. What is that called? Lulav shenifra da'olav. So I once heard the pshat, that's why it's a suda's preda. And because even when the person leaves, you're always connected to them at the shoresh. If there's always a connection, you're always going to stay in touch. Then, it's as if they never left. That's the mitzvah leviyah. Even when you're walking them in the house, you're showing, I really don't want you to leave. I still want to be connected. That's why it's a leviyah. Havayas were saying goodbye, but we don't want to be saying goodbye. At the moment of departure, the moment of goodbye, it's when I want to reconnect like never before. That's Pami Levein Ishi, that's a leviyah, and that's the mitzvah of Levius Orchid. So, that's how we have to go in and treat others. Gam Mesrabi Mamlachto, Achu the Balmashas, and then someone who grows lax. So that's how Rabbi Yoni Ben Ezra connected it to the preceding verse. Someone who does grow lax, you know what that does? It's considered like your brother to a destructive person. Meaning what? So the commentaries explain, someone who actively destroys, well, that person's actively destroying. But if you slack off in your work, which is needed, let's say you're unemployed and you're not going to do your work, it's as if you're destroying the business. Not doing the work, sitting by passively, is also destroying the business. And so too, as Rashi says, Misrapi Mimlachta Porish Minat Torah. Someone who slacks off, when did Amalek get the Jews? But Rafidim. Rafidim writes the Gemara in Bechoros, Tafheim and Beis. Rafidim is the terminology, rough for your day. They slacked off. They didn't stop learning, but even slacking off and taking it easy is destroying the Limanat Torah. And it's as if you're a brother to the actively destructive person. So what is the solution? And that gets to the end of this year today, Pasuk Yud. And that is Bitacha. Migdalo Shem Hashem Bo Yoret Tzadik V'Nisqa. And Migdalo is the true tower, the citadel of strength, is the name of God. The name of God, Rabbeinu Yonah says, anyone who davens, you invoke the name of God to have Hashem protect you, to be the Shomer Amo Yisraelon. The real tower of strength is the name of Hashem. Bo Yoretz Tzadik V'Nisqav. Through using the Shem Hashem and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and putting all your worries and concerns on Hashem, you can run, the Tzadik can run V'Nisqav and be elevated on high and he can be strong. Writes Rabbeinu Yonah in his Perush HaMishlei. What does it mean run? Whenever we're afraid of stumbling blocks, we don't run. And you're not going to run in a street if we're afraid of getting hit by a car, chas v'shalom, or getting into a pothole. You know when you run? When you have no worries at all. When you know it's a flat surface. The tzaddik is always bo'et teyach on Hashem. If you're always relying on Hashem, then you can run through life. You don't have to worry about stumbling blocks because you know Hashem's going to carry you. Hambo, if you're always walking and running, thinking the Shem Hashem, like Rechaim Elozhin writes, if you live with Einor Mavado, then you never have to worry about any harm coming your way. The real tzaddik who has to be talking in Hashem, can always be thinking, Shavis Hashem and Eri Summit, thinking Shem Hashem, thinking Eina Mavado, he can run through life, and he'll always be strong. He's not afraid of anything. He's not living in fear. And at the end of the day, that person knows that Hashem is going to protect him, and that's where the real Bitochan comes from, as opposed to Pasuk Aleph. Hon Osher Kiryas Uzo, the wealth, the treasure of a wealthy person, that is their city of strength. City of strength, they say, I have a whole city of wealth, that's my whole city of strength. And like a very high wall, a very strong, mighty wall, I have a mosquito in his own inner chambers. He says, oh, my wealthy is going to protect me. That's the contrast Shlomo Melech writes. Shlomo Melech, who was the wealthiest of all men, he says, don't put your bitachon in your wealth. Hashem could take it away in any second. And that's not going to protect you. What's the Migdalos? And that's why he didn't say it's a city. Migdalos is in the city. Where's the strongest place in the city? You go to the tower. You go to the tall tower, which enables you to see out, see the enemies from a distance. The tall tower is usually a fortress. It's usually barricaded. It's blocked up. And you think that you're protected there in the fortress. Shlomo says, even a fortress could be toppled. Even a fortress could be destroyed. The one mighty fortress in the mighty city that you always have is the Shem Hashem. If you're always thinking the Shem Hashem, holding on to the Shem Hashem, living with Shem Hashem, and living with Minas HaBitachon, and then you can get through life, you can run through life, and that's the idea of working back to the Malbim. There's no need to complain because you're satisfied in life, you're Samech B'Chelko, and you're happy with life, and you know that whatever Hashem sends your way, it's always for the best. To have that Bitachon, that's the mighty tower, that's going to fortify the person's neshama, that's going to enable you to run through life, to accomplish in life, to run, because when you're happy, you run, you're excited, you run to things. When you have a Ratzon, that's why it's called Ratzon, you're Ratzon in the direction of your Ratzon, you're excited, you run, and you feel strong, and you act strong, and you live strong, when you're always Samech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should get to the level of Bitachon and realize it all comes from Hashem, and it is 100% all for the best. Have an amazing day and a great rest of the day.
77.
77. That's right. That's the Shlemus. And that's this year. Tav Shin Ayin Zayin. The Hei Shnas Oz. Should be a year of strength. A year of 77. A year of Shlemus.
Amen.